Right, if you have your Bibles, I'll be looking at 2 Kings chapter 4 about a mother who strikes oil. Wouldn't that be nice? This week, I visited a website that will tell you exactly what a stay-at-home mother's compensation would be for all of her jobs. Are you interested in hearing this, or should I just move on? Much of this would be true for a working mother as well. The jobs would be the same. But all of the jobs you think about, as Jeff said in his prayer, that a mother would have, a housekeeper, teacher, daycare worker, cook, computer operator, laundry machine operator, janitor, facilities manager, chauffeur, CEO, psychologist, chaplain, probation officer, you name it. I mean, mothers have done quite a bit of everything. But for our zip code here in this part of Texas, this website says that the annual salary of a stay-at-home mother would be right at $93,000 a year. It's not enough. I know, and some of you need a raise. It's time for you to renegotiate your contracts. I got flowers. What you need's a raise. Now, we can't say enough about the importance of mothers. And in the text today, in addition to all of the burdens and the jobs and hats that a mother wears, this mother is also a widow. And she had a desperate need. And the question or the tension in the text is, can this mother, this widowed mother, turn to the Lord and have him pay attention to her need and then also respond in a way that would meet her need? Would God come to her aid? And what we see is that this mother strikes oil, so to speak. Look with me in 2 Kings, which is in the Old Testament. So if you find the red letters, you need to turn left. 2 Kings chapter 4, I'll start reading in verse 1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him, and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Now, this mother has three significant lessons or things that she learns or that we can see in her life here in the text that I want to emphasize today. The first one is that this mother knew where to go in the time of need. This mother knew where to go in the time of need. Now, the text tells us that she was the widow of one of the prophets, and apparently both Elijah and then Elisha, after him, worked with local men who were prophets and who worked with them and supported them in their ministry and were faithful to the word of the Lord. And this company of prophets were able to maintain their own properties and they had their own families, where Elijah and Elisha, you know, were itinerant and single men. They did not have that privilege. These prophets who had their own properties and their own families would have paid a high price for their faithfulness to the Lord in a kingdom ruled by a royal couple who worshipped Baal, the idol. And so Baalism was kind of the state religion of Israel at this time. And these prophets risked quite a bit to stay faithful to the worship of Yahweh and to the law of Moses. Now, Jewish tradition names this widow's husband as Obadiah, the servant of Ahab, from 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, if that's true, if this is Obadiah from who was the servant of Ahab, that means that Obadiah risked his life to save 100 prophets from the wicked queen Jezebel, who wanted to put them all to death. Do you remember that story from Sunday school? Yes, the prophets were on the flannel board. You remember? All right. If all of this is true, then that means that the cause of the debt is likely that Obadiah had to take out a loan in order to provide for the material needs of these 100 prophets that he was hiding from the queen, so she couldn't kill them. So after he died, then his widow could not pay back the debt that he had taken on in order to provide for these prophets. And now her children are in danger of being carried off into slavery. And so the widow's plea is that Elisha, the man of God, would have mercy on her because of the noble deed her husband did in saving the prophets, even though he had to take on that debt. And she tells the man of God, you know, that my husband revered the Lord. He truly worshiped and loved God. Now, death and debt are two problems that every family faces sooner or later. And here, this woman had lost her husband. And so she was experiencing all the grief that goes with that kind of loss. And then her husband's creditors came to foreclose on the boys to carry them off into servitude. And Mosaic law allowed that you could enslave a debtor's family until they worked to pay off the debt or until 6 years passed, whichever came first. They had to pay off the loan or 6 years. And once that was done, then you had to release them from their servitude. Slavery would be a dismal end for this family that had already endured so much loss and suffering. But the widow went quickly to seek the wisdom and help of the man of God who represented Yahweh himself, the man who spoke the word of the Lord. She knew where to go in her time of need. Blessed is the person who knows where to go when there is a need. Do you know where to turn when you are experiencing need in your own life? The church planter Lynn Sullivan tells the story of how in the 1980s his family were serving in northern Saskatchewan to start a church there. And as a church planter, he says, part of my support was funded by the local mission, and most months were financially difficult. And one week in April, when the ground was still frozen and snow-covered, we were down to a few dollars in the bank. Our usual reaction was to look for our own solution. This time, however, in a stroke of faith, I went before God and told him that we needed eggs, bread, and milk. And I would wait on him to provide for our need. I would wait. That afternoon, a man came to my little fix-it shop with a leaky tea kettle, and he said, I know I could get another tea kettle, but this is my favorite one, so would you please fix it? In minutes, the job was done, and I didn't even charge him for it, but he pulled out a $10 bill and insisted that I take it. It was enough money to buy a gallon of milk, a dozen eggs, and a loaf of bread. And as the man left, I felt a bit of pride in my faith and how I had trusted God to provide, and then he did. And I thanked God for his gracious provision. To which God replied, don't you wish you had asked for a side of beef? Why not? Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do you believe that? See, whether it is in grief or material needs or some other crisis, every family experiences, you know, that time of need, that desperation. Do you know where to turn during those times? From where comes your help? Do you turn to the Lord who is mindful of all of your needs? A second thing we can learn from this mother is that she found the answer to her need was already in her home. She already had everything she needed for the problem she was facing. Now, the man of God, Elisha, considers her problem, and he's wondering how best to help this widow and this mother. And he asks some questions. You know, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? What do you have at home? And these are good questions for all of us to ask when we find ourselves in this time of need. Now, what's at issue here theologically is whether or not God will help the needy through the prophet Elisha the same way that he had helped the needy through the prophet Elijah, who had come before him. Now the answer comes when Elisha learns that the woman has a little oil at home. And immediately Elisha sees, he understands, he perceives exactly what Yahweh is going to do to help this poor woman and her family. The widow says, I have nothing at home to help. All I have is a little oil. And I wonder how many of us, when we find ourselves in a time of need, we see only what we lack. We see our inability to provide, and we believe all is lost. And I don't think this woman is being pessimistic. She's telling the truth. She is in dire straits. There is nothing in her home of any worth except a little oil. And a little oil is not going to help this woman now. But she is about to experience God's miraculous provision. And it's as if God is saying, if the oil is all you have, then that is all you need. Watch what I'm about to do. As I was reading the text, it reminded me of a memorial service we had this week for a mother, Donna Dick. And some of you know Donna and Billy, and she passed as a result of her struggle with cancer. One of the things that I enjoyed very much about meeting with her family and listening to them talk about Donna's life was how they described her as a mother who demonstrated great joy and contentment in what she had. She valued and fiercely loved what she had. And I told the story, I'm going to tell it again. You know that Donna cut up her son's Garrett's meat well into his high school years. I love telling that. I've told that 3 times now. You see Garrett, you tell him I told you all about that. He's not embarrassed at all. Donna's daughter, Megan, describes how she remembers the morning sounds in their home. Her mother, Donna, would get up real early in the morning, and she would begin to go about doing what was necessary to prepare for the day, making breakfast, and all of the sounds that go with making breakfast, unfolding the ironing board to iron clothes and get clothes ready. You know the sound of the ironing board as it opens? And all the other things that she would do to set the stage for the day. Her family describes her as a woman who lived an extraordinary, ordinary life. She knew the worth of family. She knew the worth of her friends. She knew the worth of hard work, of play, and of time spent together enjoying the ones that you love. And I want to ask you, do you believe God knows your worth? And do you believe he supplies exactly what you need? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter reminds us that God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. God values you, and He provides everything that you need. And I promise you, if you're not seeing it yet, it's probably on its way. The Lord is faithful to keep His promises because He loves us so. And I wonder how long it has been since you have counted your blessings. And I don't want to minimize your needs. I know that they are great and may seem overwhelming and very disheartening, and there may be a great burden on your life. But I wonder if today your perception of your needs are causing you to not see all of the miraculously wonderful and perhaps ordinary ways in which God has showed you His goodness and His greatness. Maybe today you need to discover God's miraculous provision right there in your house. Do you have a house? Shelter. Maybe you need to see how God has provided for you in those wonderfully infuriating people who are related to you. Your family. What a marvelous blessing they are. Maybe your furniture. Maybe in all the love you experience from your loved ones and friends. Is it possible that the answer for lifting your burden may be right with you right now, maybe right there in your home? I realize that I may never have all that I want or think I need, but God knows my needs and provides accordingly. Do you recognize God's provision when you see it? Because you are so valued and loved by our Heavenly Father. The third thing I would point out from this mother is that she found the possibilities are unlimited when you allow God to use what you have. There are no end to the things that God can do with what we make available to Him. Now, Elisha's instruction to the woman when he realized what God was going to do for her was to go around to all of her neighbors and to collect all the jars that she could. And I laugh, he tells her, don't collect a few, get all that you can because you're going to need them. It's as if he's saying that your deliverance will be found in the size of your faith in God. I'm not going to need just a few jars, I'm going to need a million jars because that's how big my God is. Collect as many as possible and watch God fill them up. And so the family worked together to obey the word of the Lord. This crisis does not drive them apart from one another. It draws them together as one family. And they serve together in faith and obedience to what God said. And God took what that mother had and multiplied it to meet her need. The text says, literally, she keeps on pouring out the oil, and it's an unusual verb form here, and it seems to indicate that the oil is made to pour continuously until they ran out of things to contain it, and then it stops. If they had more containers, you get the idea that it would have kept pouring out. And with the oil that God provided, she pays off her husband's creditors, and her family remains together, and then she and her sons are able to live on the abundance that God provided for them. What can God do with what you have on hand, if you offer it to him for his purposes and glory. A few weeks ago, I talked about my crisis of faith related to all of the financial things that our church could be facing in the immediate future and then ongoing on down the lines, and how I struggled with whether or not we should go forward in faith and if God would provide and all of that sort of thing. And we talked specifically about the money that we needed to raise in order to replace the lighting system here in the sanctuary. We needed a total of about $120,000 in order to do the project. And we said that if we collected gifts or pledges for at least $80,000, that we would go ahead and schedule the work. Well, I can tell you that so many offered what they had that now we have more money than we needed to begin with. As of a few minutes ago, we had about $135,000 already collected. And another $18,000 in pledges as of this morning. And I'm hearing people all the time saying, I haven't got to give yet. Well, don't complain. Give it. You can still give. You're not off the hook, in other words. And here's what you need to know. Any money given now, if it does not go to the lighting project, it will stay in the fund, the building maintenance fund. And as you are probably aware, there are no end to the maintenance needs that we have here in this church. But we can decide in the coming weeks what we want to do with that money. To keep some of it or all of it in a fund to help with ongoing needs, or to set some or all of it aside to begin a new building project for some things that we think we might want to do to add or improve the space that we have. We are blessed in such a way, God has made a way for us to decide how to proceed in faith. And it's because a lot of people chose to simply give what they had available, and the Lord has turned it into something quite extraordinary indeed. Does my faith in Christ allow me to act in faith, offering to God what I have and trusting him that he will make it more than enough? I don't know what you have on hand. You know, God asked Moses, what's in your hand? That was all Moses needed to do the work that God wanted him to do. What do you have on hand? What do you have in your home? Do you have food or money or time or skills or love that you can offer to the Lord for his purposes and his glory? And what I want to tell you today is that maybe the time has come for you to lay it down, to offer it up, to let it go to the Lord so that he can use it to reveal himself not only to you, but perhaps to many people in our community and around the world. The author A.B. Simpson once said, our God has boundless resources. The only limit is in us. Our asking, our thinking, our praying are too small. Our expectations are too limited. I confess that today. My expectations of what God would do was too small. I didn't think we'd have the money for months. And now it's time for us to go forward and to get some things done. What is God trying to get you to see about how he wants to provide for you and your family? How he wants you to make available what he's given to you for his purposes and glory? When you find yourself in a time of crisis, where do you turn for help? Do you trust the Lord to provide for you? Do you know the Lord's provision when you see it? Will you offer the Lord all you have and trust that he will make it more than enough? has the time come for you to let it go, to lay it down, to offer it up to the Lord? Let's pray together. Lord, as we conclude the service, we want to thank you for all of the goodness and the grace that you have poured out on us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We know that you are a Father who is very much aware of us, who is intimately familiar with all of our needs, and that you will take care of us. You provide wonderfully for the sparrows and the flowers, and we are more precious to you than these. I ask, Lord, that you would increase our faith today, that you would make us grateful and good stewards of all that you've already provided to us. And I pray, Lord, that we would be people who would willingly let go and offer up what you've given to us so that you might display your presence, your power, and your glory. And may your will be done. And across this room, there are people who are struggling perhaps with a variety of needs. I pray today that you would reveal yourself to them and increase their faith. May they turn to you in great joy, knowing that you are a Father who will provide. And we love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.